first 10 minutes of the program today, we're going to spend talking with Pastor Parker Williamson. There is a minister in the Presbyterian Church USA who has been convicted by a church court of performing same-sex unions, marriages. We'll get the story there, find out what Parker has to say about this. I'm interested. The story appeared in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch with a picture from the Associated Press saying that activists in the 2.5 million member denomination, the Presbyterian Church USA, want congregations and ministers in that denomination to obey the Presbyterian Constitution. It sounds like a modest claim. We'll see what Pastor Parker Williamson has to say in the first part of this first hour of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live this Tuesday. It's the 22nd of April. It's hard to believe that Easter has come and gone. It was a late Easter, but it's come and gone. Now, with only a day having gone by since Easter Sunday, when we're done with our conversation with Pastor Williamson, I'd like to find out from you your favorite Easter song. There was a bit of a list here that appeared in the paper, a sampling of Easter favorites, including the Alleluia Chorus, The Strife Is O'er, I Know That My Redeemer Lives. Let's see, Ode to Joy, there's another one in there. It's a Beethoven piece that has somehow become associated with Easter. I don't know how, because the original words of that particular tune, Ode to Joy, were about a pagan god, but it's become Jesu Joy. No, it's become a different tune, Ode to Joy. And then there are others like In the Garden, Morning Has Broken. I just remember Morning Has Broken, and I can't help but hear Cat Stevenson. Isn't this the right guy who sang this? Yeah, that's all I can remember with Morning Has Broken, although I will admit to having sung that about 1,000 times in chapels at a Lutheran high school down in Dallas when I was a freshman, a sophomore, a junior, and a senior. It was really hot back then. And songs like Welcome Happy Morning, Age to Age Shall Say, Hell Today Is Vanquished, a 6th century tune for Easter. What is your favorite Easter song and why? I want to know in about 15 minutes when we start an hour and 15 minutes of open line. The best callers during that hour will receive a free copy of the CD Jubilation, recorded by the Concordia Seminary Chorus. And then we'll also play your favorites, if we have them on hand. We'll play your favorites near the end of that hour and 15 minutes of open lines. The top two is what we'll have time to play. Pastor Parker Williamson joins us here in just a moment. Let me give you a rundown of the rest of the lineup very briefly. From about 4:30 to 5, we're going to be talking with Dr. Paul Meyer, author of our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for April, called The Very First Easter. We're going to take an historical look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then in the final hour of the program, from 5 to 6, Dr. Kim Riddlebarger of the White Horse Inn joins us for part 2 of a 4-part series on understanding the end times. We're going to talk about the covenantal system of the Old Testament, the relationship of the Old and the New Testaments, and how all of the Bible has an eschatological viewpoint. We'll find out what that means in the third hour of Issues, Etc. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Parker Williamson is executive director for the Presbyterian Layman, published in Lenore, North Carolina. He's a regular guest here on Issues, Etc. Pastor Williamson, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hello, Todd. It's good to hear from you.
Parker, tell us what happened. I read about this Reverend Stephen Van Kuren.
Van Kuyken.
Okay. Tell
Stephen
us about
Van
this.
Van Kuyken, yeah. Well, you were mentioning favorite Easter songs. I guess Stephen Van Kuyken's favorite Easter song would be I Did It My Way, because that's exactly what he's just done. He's decided to redefine marriage. And instead of marriage being what the Bible says, which is a covenant between a man and a woman that is sealed and blessed by God, he's determined that marriage can be other types of coupling. In particular, he likes to couple men with men and women with women, and he blesses these events, and he calls them marriages. And he was brought before the Presbyterian Church court in his presbytery on grounds that he married persons of the same sex, which was easy enough to prove because he's advertised that fact and, in fact, has made quite a deal of it. He was found guilty of doing that and given the lightest punishment that can be given by the courts, namely a little slap on the hand. It's called a rebuke. The court could have removed him from the office of ministry for violating the church's standards on marriage, but it did not do so. It really just basically said, they're there. He responded by saying that he was going to appeal the guilty verdict and that he intended to continue to perform these services. There was one other charge that was brought against Van Kuyken, and that was that he has been officiating at ceremonies in which they are ordaining and installing persons as officers in the Presbyterian Church who engage in sexual relations outside of the covenant of marriage. And on that one, they acquitted him on the grounds that the decision to ordain and install these people was made by a governing body and not by him. He was simply carrying out their decision, which is a bogus ruling on the courts, because he's part of that governing body.
Now, let me stop you there for a moment. On the second set of charges, that he was officiating at ordination ceremonies for officers who were having active sexual relations outside marriage, the rationale for dismissing this again, he was simply doing what higher-ups told him to do?
Well, the officers were officers in his local church, and the decision to ordain and install them is the decision that's made by his session. So that was the argument of the court, that the session made that decision, not Van Kuyken. But Van Kuyken, as the minister, is a member of that session, so he voted. And furthermore, if he was engaged in ordaining persons whom the Book of Order says are not eligible for ordination, then whether there was a decision by his officers or not is irrelevant. He still was violating the Constitution of the Church. So I thought that was a terrible decision by the court.
Parker, what does the rendering of the lightest punishment possible by this church court for Van Kuyken tell you?
It tells me that the court itself was packed with persons who do not believe in upholding and defending the Constitution of the Presbyterian Church USA. That's what it tells me.
Now, what is the official position? You have mentioned the Constitution several times of the Presbyterian Church USA. What is the official position and policy of that church body on same-sex union, same-sex marriage, and homosexuality in general?
The position of the Presbyterian Church USA, as stated in its constitution, is that persons who engage in sexual activity outside the bonds of marriage, marriage being a man and a woman, persons who are openly engaged in that activity may not be ordained or installed as leaders of the Presbyterian Church USA. That applies to heterosexual adultery. It applies to homosexual behavior. But that is the constitutional provision. What we have here is a church, a so-called church, a group calling itself a Presbyterian church in Cincinnati, Ohio, that says, well, we're going to define marriage as being other forms of coupling, and we're going to ordain and install persons who are engaged in this behavior no matter what the Constitution says.
According to the story in the paper, Van Kuyken is contending that the church, that is the Presbyterian Church USA, is facing what he calls a crisis of theological intolerance. What does he mean by this, and what's your response?
Well, what he means by that is that the Presbyterian Church Constitution, insofar as its handling of its recognition of gay lesbian behavior, he also includes bisexual and transsexual and a lot of others, but basically, he's saying the church is officially intolerant, and so he's challenging that. He wanted this trial, and frankly, I think he wants to be found guilty, and then he wants to appeal that hoping that somewhere up the line, the church will change its constitutional position. It's the typical civil rights behavior of getting yourself arrested and punished and then appealing that decision or that action.
In 2000, the highest church court in the Presbyterian Church USA ruled that ministers may bless same-sex couples but cannot marry them. What's the difference?
There really is no difference, except that the Presbyterian Church Constitution, the standards of the church, do define marriage. And they define it as Scripture defines it, as a covenant, a holy covenant between a man and a woman, blessed by God and sealed by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Presbyterian Church recognizes as a marriage. So what it was saying is, look, you ministers, you can bless friendships, all kinds of relationships. You can bless them, but you cannot call them marriages, and you cannot officiate upon these with these relationships as if they were marriages. And that's what Van Kuyken did.
Now, the last time I checked, Ohio does not have any. The state of Ohio does not recognize same-sex unions or same-sex marriages. Is there a problem here as well with Van Kuyken's practices of marrying homosexual couples?
Yeah, that would go into the legal category. I mean, apparently in Ohio, he could perform a marriage ceremony that he calls a marriage ceremony for two people of the same sex, but the state is not going to recognize it. And frankly, the Presbyterian Church doesn't recognize it. But he's done it anyway. So I don't know. I don't know that it's worth the paper that it's written on. But he's still done it.
One other issue, and I think we talked about this with you some time back. The moderator for the Presbyterian Church USA recently, put the kibosh on an effort to have the church address this issue of homosexuality in a straightforward way. What happened there, and what has been the fallout from that since?
You follow our news real well, Todd. Yes, that was a situation in which the kind of thing that we're talking about right now, this Van Kuyken case, has been occurring in many places around the country. Namely, we have standards. By a vote of 3-1, the Presbyterians across this country have established ordination standards and standards for marriage. But they are being defied in several places. And the issue before us is that although we have the standards, we have church officials who are unwilling to uphold the standards, to require compliance with standards, to enforce the standards. And so there was an attempt to have a called meeting of the General Assembly, our highest governing body, to address this constitutional crisis, namely the fact that officials of the church are not upholding the Constitution. And the moderator of the General Assembly refused to call that special meeting of the General Assembly for that purpose.
And has there been any finding as to whether or not he either had the authority to do this or whether he acted properly in doing this?
The court found that he was improper in that what he did was, the rule is if 50 commissioners of the last General Assembly petitioned the moderator to call a special meeting, the language says he shall call it. When he received these 50 petitions, what he did was he wrote them all a letter and implored them in the name of the moderator and in the name of the peace and unity of the church to withdraw their names from the petition. And a handful of them withdrew their names, and then he said, aha, we do not have the required 50 names, so I'm not going to call a meeting. The court ruled that when he wrote that letter to the commissioners asking them to withdraw their names, he was doing something that was improper. However, since those persons withdrew their names, the court said there will not be a call meeting.
Pastor Parker Williamson, thank you very much for being our guest and bringing us up to date on the goings-on there in the Presbyterian Church USA.
You're welcome, Todd, and thank you for your interest.
Pastor Parker Williamson is executive editor for the Presbyterian Layman, published in Lenoir, North Carolina. If you'd like information on how to receive the Presbyterian layman, you can call toll-free 1-800-368-0110. That's 1-800-368-0110. Or you can check out the website for the Presbyterian layman at layman.org. That's L-A-Y-M-A-N.org. Their toll-free number, 1-800-368-0110. It's open lines for the remainder of this hour and into the next hour. We're going to spend this time talking about your favorite Easter song. Let me tell you what happened on Easter Sunday in the church I attend. Well, first of all, the music was beautiful. It was sad to say. I don't like to see things go perfectly in a church service, because then I'm afraid we have a tendency to walk out patting ourselves on the back or patting someone else on the back. But the music was impeccable. I'll just put it that way. At least from this untrained ear. The hymns were, for the most part, the standard fare of an Easter Sunday. They were well accompanied by string and timpani and cymbals and voices. There was lots of singing. We sang the old standards. We sang one at the end, however, which is not typically used for Easter Sunday itself. It's often sung on Easter Sunday, and it's one that some may be familiar with, others may have no idea what it is. It's one that's called Thine the Amen. It's a great hymn. Now, it's a hymn of very recent origin. If I'm not mistaken, I think it dates from the 60s or the 70s. A beautiful hymn. It's a hymn, I'll be quite honest with you, that I cannot get through without breaking down. It's the words. I think it's a combination of words and setting and tune that is simply too much for me to take, especially as it drives on towards the final verses. It's a hymn that is often associated with the Lord's Supper. Of course, we celebrated the Lord's Supper on Easter Sunday there in church. But it's one that I can't get through without choking up. There are a few others like that. Now, I would say that hymn is one of my favorites, but I don't like it when I see that hymn. We're going to be singing that hymn on a Sunday for this reason. It's hard for me to enjoy a hymn that is so filled with emotion for me. Do you know what I'm talking about? A hymn that you absolutely love, but when you sing it, it's so hard to sing because you can't get through it without crying or breaking down in some other way. Now, there's one of my favorites. It's a perennial favorite, not just for Easter. And if someone were to say, all right, Wilkin, what's your favorite Easter song? I would be hard-pressed to pick because there are an awful lot of them. You may have seen a list in the paper, a sampling of Easter favorites that included hymns and songs and other things, including the Hallelujah Chorus, the Strophes, or I Know That My Redeemer Lives, Christ the Lord is Risen Today, Alleluia, Worthy is the Lamb, another chorus from Handel's Messiah. What else here? Hail Thee Festival Day. It's not only an Easter hymn, it's also for Ascension and Pentecost, I believe. Ode to Joy, Awake My Heart with Gladness. What is your favorite Easter song? Did you sing it on Sunday? We are coming to you live this Tuesday, the 22nd. Of April, and that's my question for you during this hour of open lines. The best callers during this hour of open lines will receive a free copy of the CD, Jubilation. It's produced by the Concordia Seminary Chorus. It's a fantastic CD. We'll give it to the best callers, and at the end of this hour of open lines, hearing from you about your favorite Easter songs, we'll try and play the top two according to our listeners. So if you've got a hymnal at home, or if you're just going to check your memory, what is the favorite? Did you sing it on Sunday? The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. It's open lines running into the next hour of Issues, etc. Following that, Dr. Paul Meyer joins us for about a half an hour to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then in the last hour, we'll spend some time with Dr. Kim Riddlebarger of the White Horse Inn and author of the book A Case for Amillennialism, part two of our four-part series on understanding the end times. The phone numbers again, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's start off with Lisa. She's calling from Houston, Texas, listening on the Internet. Lisa, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Well, hello.
Hello.
My absolute favorite for the moment is Christ Jesus Lay in Death Strong Bands. partly I like it because it's not sung as often as it could be. And partly I just love the words. They point to what God has done and continues to do.
Now, you said it was your absolute favorite for the moment. What do you mean by that?
Well, I've been going through the hymnals backwards and forwards, trying to do one or two hymns a week. So about every 3 days, my favorite changes.
Now, did you get an opportunity to sing Christ Jesus Lay in Death Strong Bands on Easter Sunday?
No, I didn't, but I did a Good Friday. Because I couldn't wait till Easter, so I went to the internet where I knew the lyrics and the MIDI file was and sang it.
Thank you very much for giving us a call, Lisa, and thank you for listening on the internet. Her favorite, she said, at least for the moment, as she's working her way through the hymnal or various hymnals, Christ Jesus Lay in Death Strong Bands. The text of this actually comes from Martin Luther himself. That's one vote for that one. And let's see, does it appear on that list? It does not appear on the list of the sampling for Easter favorite, but that's all right. The text comes from Luther. It was later altered by somebody else. Just a little taste of what she was talking about there. Christ Jesus lay in death strong bands, for our offenses given, but now at God's right hand he stands and brings us life from heaven. Therefore, let us be joyful be and sing to God right thankfully loud songs of Alleluia, Alleluia. Alleluia gets its chance to come back on Easter, and there are a lot of other Easter songs that include that Alleluia. One of them, Christ the Lord is risen today, Alleluia. What's your favorite Easter song? Give us a call at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. And while we're moving through here, I will try my best to keep track of whose favorites are whose. Ida is calling from Ferguson. Ida, we've got only 1 minute before we go to this break. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Mine's Because He Lives, and my reason is because he does live. It just makes the world a better place to live, and it just, I don't know, it's just a song that just really blesses my heart because I know my Savior lives.
All right. Ida, thank you very much for the call. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, she said, because he lives, the previous caller had Christ Jesus lay in death strong bands. What's your favorite Easter song? Did you get a chance to sing it? Or maybe it's one that no one ever sings on Easter. Maybe it's one that you wish you sang more often than just Easter. There's one I was thinking of, and this is one that was my favorite for years. Christ is Arisen. That's all it's called. Christ is Arisen from the Grave's Dark Prison. It's a very, very old song, if I'm not mistaken, but it's also rather somber. It's the kind of thing you might sing in tune, the kind of thing you might sing on an Easter sunrise when it's still dark outside, but you very seldom hear it sung at the Easter service after the sun's come up. It doesn't lend itself to timpani, to trumpets, to brass that well. What's your favorite? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc. And Open Lines continues for another half hour and beyond. We'll be right back.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
When your children ask you about the very first Easter, how do you go about telling them the story of Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection from the dead? What was it like to witness his suffering, his trials, and his crucifixion? These events stand at the very heart of the Christian faith, and they are beautifully retold in the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April, The Very First Easter, by Dr. Paul Meyer. You can order The Very First Easter by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can order The Very First Easter online at our website, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find information on The Very First Easter. It's the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April. 1-800-325-3040.
Now, this Global Minute focuses prayer on school-aged children in the African country of Zimbabwe who are collapsing from hunger. A missionary couple with Rainbows of Hope in Zimbabwe told friends back home how school children are stealing from their fruit trees on a regular basis. The kids have nothing to eat at home. Prices have skyrocketed and families can't pay for food and keep their children in school. Zimbabwe's national government is restricting outside help. In Zimbabwe, there are 11 million people and 71% are considered Christians. Part of the current problem stems from an effort to change who owns the land. Whites have accounted for about 1% of the population, but they have owned up to 70% of the land, and now the government wants to forcibly change the situation, even if it means farms don't produce food. Pray for Christ to be glorified during this crisis. Pray for spiritual needs around the world by logging on to missionvisionnetwork.org.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. Today is Earth Day. Activities today and throughout the week will call attention to ecology. I live in Collinsville, Illinois, a city 12 miles east of the Mississippi River. When I drive into St. Louis on the interstate, I pass a large earthen mound called Monk's Mound. It, and smaller mounds in the area, were built between 900 and 1200 AD by a thriving Indian civilization. Driving on toward the river, I see another man-made mound. This may well be the defining monument of our time, the garbage pile, or, what's a politically correct term, the landfill. And this mound is growing every day. If the world lasts a few more millennia, I wonder how archaeologists will define our time. We are intrigued by the archaeology of Indian cultures. What will people conclude about us when they rummage through our landfills? Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil, says Proverbs 15:16. And Hebrews 13 verse 5 says, be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.
Sign on at 6:30 tomorrow morning. Wake up with inspiration, information, and this guy here, Paul Clayton. Hi. We're moving ever closer to Share-a-thon 2003, and tomorrow morning I'll give you more of a preview of what to expect over the next few days. We'll also feature our CPH Book of the Week and give away a few goodies. We'll hear commentary from Dr. Dale Meyer on the morning show Wednesday on AM 850 KFUO.
Welcome back. We're right in the middle of the first hour of Issues, Etc., and right in the middle of an hour of open lines for your questions and your comments. As usual, anything you want to talk about on this Tuesday, but I'm asking the question about your favorite Easter song. There was a little piece that appeared in the paper listing some songs, some hymns, some excerpts from Handel's Messiah rank as people's favorite Easter song. I'm wondering about you. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. I'd be hard-pressed to pick one. Let's go back to the phones. Cindy is calling from South County. Cindy, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi. I was thinking that maybe, you know, you talked about the Alleluias being gone, but I think a lot of our friends from other denominations don't know what we're talking about when you say that. And so would you explain that?
Well, that's a very good question, Cindy. Thank you for the call.
Wait, can I tell you my one? What
absolutely.
We sang? Okay.
Yeah, which one was it?
Awake My Heart With Gladness.
Awake My Heart With Gladness, see what this day hath done. I know it's in here someplace.
Now after gloom and sadness comes forth the glorious sun. My Savior there was laid where our bed must be made. When to the realms of light our spirit wings its flight.
Now, this is a great hymn, Cindy. Thank you very much for the
sure.
call. And I'll explain the Alleluia thing here in just a second. You know, my eye is drawn to verse 5 of that hymn, Awake My Heart With Gladness. Now will I cling forever to Christ my Savior true. My Savior will leave me never. Whate'er he passes through, he rends death's iron chain, breaks through sin and pain, he shatters hell's grim thrall. I follow him through all. This is a marvelous Easter hymn. And I got to write that one down so that I will not forget it. Cindy likes, "Awake My Heart with Gladness." And that's one of the ones that actually appears to Paul Gerhardt Johann Kruger, 17th century hymn that actually appeared in the paper, "Awake My Heart with Gladness." Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. I'll get to the phone calls here in just a second. Please be patient, but I'll explain what Cindy asked about. The issue of putting the Alleluias away, or the Hallelujahs, depending on how you want to pronounce it, away for the season of Lent and then bringing them out again in a sudden fashion for Easter Sunday is a long tradition in the church. There are actually churches that will take a banner that says Hallelujah on it. They'll roll it up and they'll bury it on the beginning of Lent, on Ash Wednesday, and bring it out, go out and dig it up on Easter Sunday before the sunrise service to bring the Hallelujah back out again because, well, the best explanation comes from an 18th century hymn, by the way, called Alleluia Songs of Gladness, which explains why Christians sing the Alleluia in the first place. But the third stanza says this: Alleluia cannot always be our song while here below. Alleluia, our transgressions make us for a while forego. For the solemn time is coming when our tears for sin must flow. And then the fourth stanza has to do with bringing the Alleluia back out for Easter. Now, the tradition of putting the Alleluia away or not singing the Alleluia during Lent has to do with the tenor of Lent. The tenor of Lent is precisely that of repentance. It doesn't mean that we can't praise our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but it means that the most appropriate thing for that season of Lent leading up to Easter has to do with our sorrow for sin. And by way of, you know, some people fast. Some people have other outward signs of repentance that they practice. People from all denominations, outward signs of repentance, fasting, prayer, things like this. It's simply an outward sign, a corporate sign on the part of the church, that they have entered into a season of reflection upon their sin, its cost to our Savior Jesus Christ, its consequences, all pressing on towards Christ's victory over our sin and death, where the Alleluias come out suddenly again. Let's go back to the phones, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. What's your favorite Easter song? Anna is on the line. Anna, welcome to Issues, Etc.
My favorite song is Jesus is Living, Alleluia.
Jesus is Living, Alleluia. And why is that your favorite, Anna?
I like the tune.
And I won't make you sing any of it for us. I don't know if I'm familiar with Jesus is Living, Alleluia. Anna, thank you very much for the phone call. All right, we have a young listener there. Jesus is Living, Alleluia. Let's go to Ruth, who's calling from Dallas, Texas, also listening on the Internet. Ruth, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. My favorite hymn is The Strife is O'er, The Battle Done. The Victory is Won. I don't remember all the words, but it's such a strong declarative hymn. It is wonderful.
The strife is o'er, the battle done, and I'll find that here in just a second and share.
I have a second one too.
Oh, you do? What is
I
it?
I can have a second one. I think this is from the Lamb's High Feast we sing.
Yes. Yes.
Praise to our Redeemer, O King. Who hath left this dum dum bum da 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 da? Should have started a little higher.
That's all right. Ruth, thank you.
I'm a music major and I love good, strong hymns.
That's one we sang on Easter Sunday. Did you get a chance to sing that as
no,
well?
No.
Ruth, thank you very much for your call and thanks for listening on the Internet. By the way, Internet callers, first time callers, and car phone callers get highest priority on Issues, Etc. Our phone numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. She votes for two. The strife is o'er, the victory won, or the battle done, I think is how it goes. Yes, the strife is o'er, the battle done. Now is the victor's triumph won. Now be the songs of praise begun. Alleluia. This is a great fifth stanza for this hymn. Lord, by the stripes which wounded you, from death's sting free your servants too, that we may live and sing to you, Alleluia. And she also voted for At the Lamb's High Feast We Sing, which is both an Easter and a communion hymn at the same time. It just kind of straddles the fence of categories right there between those two. It's a great hymn for the celebration of the Lord's Supper, because every Sunday is an Easter Sunday, and every celebration of the Lord's Supper is we proclaim his death until he comes. Now, that doesn't mean we proclaim he's dead until he comes. If he's coming again, he's alive. We're proclaiming his death and resurrection. And it's also a great Easter hymn. At the Lamb's High Feast We Sing. Easter Triumph, Easter Joy. I'll get the hymn out, and I'll share a little bit of that in just a second. Let's talk with Richard, who's calling from Dittmer, Missouri. Richard, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd, for taking my call.
Happy to do it. What's your favorite Easter song?
My favorite song music was wrote by the organist in my Lutheran church. His name is Norman Kramer, and it's the name of the song's Would You Trade Places with Jesus?
And do you sing it out? Does it get sung outside your congregation?
No.
No, it doesn't, but it's your favorite. Would You Trade Places with Jesus? All right. Thank you very much for the call. Our phone numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. That hymn that was mentioned by a previous caller, At the Lamb's High Feast We Sing, here's the stanza I was trying to bring to. This is another good one. And this is the stanza that makes it a great Easter hymn. Easter Triumph, Easter Joy, this alone can sin destroy. From sin's power, Lord, set us free. Newborn souls in you to be, Alleluia. All the hymns so far seem to be featuring Alleluias for the most part. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. The question laid on the table is, what is your favorite Easter song? Now, we've had a number of them mentioned, but we haven't had any more than just, we haven't had any more than one apiece. We need some extra votes on a few of these because I can't play all of these. And I found Anna's hymn, Christ Has Risen, Alleluia. It's a hymn that is relatively new, from about 1938. And I think it appears in the Lutheran Hymnal Supplement. Christ has arisen, Alleluia. Rejoice and praise him, Alleluia. For our Redeemer burst from the tomb, even from death dispelling its gloom, let us sing praise to him with endless joy. Death's fearful sting he has come to destroy. Our sin forgiving, Alleluia. Jesus is living, Alleluia. What is your favorite? You know, the more people call in with these, the more I think, you know, that's kind of my favorite too. I like that one. Even this one, Christ has risen, Alleluia, that I'm not familiar with. When you read through it, you say, well, that's definitely a contender for being favorite. What do you think? Tina's calling from Webster Groves. Tina, welcome to Issues Etc.
How are you, Todd?
I'm doing well.
I have a couple. May I have a couple?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
What's your top one, though? Give me your top one.
Okay, my top personal one?
Mm-hmm.
My top personal hymn is the Easter song sung by the second chapter of Acts from the 70s. Are you familiar with
it? I'm very familiar with
it. Hear the bells ringing?
Yes.
So it's Carol of the Bells, and it's Joy to the World, all rolled into the song they call Easter song.
So that's your favorite one, although I will say, when you hear that trio or that trio sing it from the 70s, second chapter of Acts, no one really does it like that. I mean, it's not one that you can hum along to it, but it's not one that can necessarily be adapted for
congregation.
Yeah, for group singing.
Right.
What's your others?
Thine is the glory, risen and conquering King.
Thine is the glory. Let me check my list here.
Risen. It's Handel.
All right, from
George
Handel.
Frederick Handel, and it's the Judas Maccabeus tune. And the words are by Edmund Lewis Budley, B-U-D-R-Y.
Why is that one of your favorites there, Tina?
Well, that's a great Easter. That's truly Easter. Little Christ meets us, risen from the tomb. lovingly he greets us, scattered fear and gloom. Let the church with gladness, hymns of triumph sing. For the Lord now liveth, death has lost its sting.
Tina, thank you for the call.
Okay.
The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. You know, and there are the songs, like she mentioned, the second chapter of Acts, the Easter song, that's simply the title of it, that is a great Easter song, but it doesn't fit well into group singing. It's kind of hard to do that. It's not written for that. It was written for the three voices that originally sang it. What's your favorite Easter song? Now, maybe you have one that, like I mentioned at the beginning of the program, maybe you have one that is your favorite, but you don't necessarily like singing it because it is so near and dear to your heart, or it says so much, expresses so well what it is you believe about Christ's resurrection, the joy of it, and everything else, that you simply can't get through it. Do you have one like that? The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Now, here's the list that appeared in the paper, and then I've got some other stuff to share with you as well. And these are not in any particular order, if I'm not mistaken. Hallelujah Chorus from Handel's Messiah. The Strife is O'er. We've had that. Someone has mentioned that one already here. I Know That My Redeemer Lives. To this point, no one has mentioned that. I Know That My Redeemer Lives. Probably one of the more familiar, widely sung Easter songs. Taken straight from the book of Job. Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. That one has not appeared from the listeners yet. Worthy is the Lamb. Another chorus from the Messiah. Hail Thee Festival Day. Ode to Joy, which was not originally written, by the way, by Ludwig van Beethoven for Easter. Awake My Heart with Gladness. Someone has mentioned that one already. Also in the paper appeared In the Garden, Welcome Happy Morning, Age to Age Shall Say Hell Today is Vanquished. Morning Has Broken. He Got Up, I guess, is a traditional spiritual from the 19th century. No Greater Love from the 70s. I Believe in God on the Third Day He Arose, which is from the Gospel Mass from the 1990s. All Shall Be Well, another more recent edition. Shine, Jesus, Shine, You're Next in Line for a Miracle. And then finally, Because of the Blood. That's what appeared in the paper as a sampling of Easter favorites. I assume they took some sort of unscientific poll. What did you sing on Sunday morning, Easter Sunday? And was it one of your favorites? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. For the best callers during this hour, a cassette or a CD of the latest recording by the Concordia Seminary Chorus called Jubilation. And I think it includes a few Easter hymns in there, if I'm not mistaken. The one that did not get mentioned yet, and I'm surprised, I thought it would be first one up, would be I Know That My Redeemer Lives. It's Jubilee. That's the name of the CD. I Know That My Redeemer Lives. I bet there was nary a church where the pastor or the, what do they call them now, worship planners? Didn't at least consider singing I Know That My Redeemer Lives. I remember planning Easter worship as a parish pastor and thinking, well, you know, I guess I have to put this one in because if we don't sing this one, someone's going to walk up to me after church on Sunday, Easter, and say, it's just not Easter unless we sing, I Know That My Redeemer Lives. Is there a hymn for you that if it doesn't get sung on Easter, it's just not the same? 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Here's one that I always liked. This was a must when I was a parish pastor. For Easter Sunday, sometime during Easter Sunday morning, Now All the Vault of Heaven Resounds. I don't know why, I think it's got a great title. Now all the vault of heaven resounds in praise and love that still abounds. Christ has triumphed, He is living. Sing choirs of angels loud and clear, repeat their song of glory here. Christ has triumphed, Christ has triumphed, Alleluia. What do you think? 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. I want to remind you, we're going to continue a conversation on the resurrection of Christ, not in song or hymn form, but with Dr. Paul Meyer, author of our Issues, Etc., book of the month for April, called The Very First Easter, beginning at 4:30 in the program. Janice is calling from St. Louis. Janice, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello.
Hi, Janice.
Hi.
What's your favorite?
Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow.
All right, now we got two votes for Because He Lives. I think the second or third caller mentioned that one. Why is it your favorite?
Well, because it speaks to exactly where we are as far as the body of Christ. It's, we're not reflecting on His death. We're reflecting on His resurrection, which is what the celebration is all about, the resurrection discovery. On Sunday, we're speaking of when He was resurrected.
But if He isn't dead, I mean, surely you understand if He wasn't dead, then the resurrection is nonsense, right?
Well, sure, I'm saying that's what my favorite song is reflecting on, His resurrection.
Janice, thank you for the call. Now, that's the second vote we got for Because He Lives. Now, I'll be completely honest with you. There are a few lines in Because He Lives that I just... thank you, Tony. Tony's got a list here. He's been very dutifully keeping a list for me. There are a few lines in Because He Lives that I can't get over. And one comes to mind. Am I right about this? Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. Because He Lives, all fear is gone. Something like that. Good stuff. Is this the one that says, "You ask me how I know He lives"? What's the hymn where it says, "You ask me how I know He lives, He lives within my heart"? I can't get over that one, folks. You ask me how I know He lives, it's because He's alive. The proof is not in my heart, the proof is in an empty tomb. Now, that might not be the hymn I'm thinking of. Well, let me respond to something else that the caller had to say, that Janice had. I think it was Janice who said this. She said, "We're not focusing on His death, but on His resurrection." We need to be very clear, folks. Without the death, there is no resurrection. Without the crucifixion and the death, 3 days in the tomb, the resurrection doesn't make any sense at all. The resurrection is happy news, not because simply a man is alive, but because a man is alive who was once dead. To focus on the resurrection is to focus and continue to focus upon the death as well. See, there's a misconception among Christians that the death is bad news and the resurrection is good news. Folks, the death is good news. It's good news for us. It's terrible news for Jesus because He had to answer for all of our sins there in His death. But the death is good news, and the resurrection is good news too. The two go together. When Paul says, "I determined to know nothing among you except Christ and Him crucified," he doesn't just talk about Christ crucified, he talks about Christ crucified, raised from the dead. You see, the man who stood before His disciples with His nail-printed hands and feet and His pierced side, saying, "Here I am, I'm alive, I've risen," Jesus, when He appeared before His disciples, appeared as Christ crucified. Not dead, but one who had been crucified and put to death and now is alive. We don't leave the death behind because of the resurrection. In other words, the resurrection does not render the crucifixion and the death obsolete or unworthy of our consideration. This is a fault, sad to say, of some Easter hymns, in that they present the death as bad news and the resurrection as good news, when they're both good news for sinners who need Christ crucified and raised from the dead. All right, so far we've got a vote for "Christ Jesus Lay in Death's Strong Bands." That was Lisa, if I'm not mistaken, calling from Houston. We have two votes for "Because He Lives." There's one for "Awake My Heart with Gladness." There is a vote for "Christ Has Arisen, Alleluia." One for "The Strife Is O'er." One, "At the Lamb's High Feast We Sing." Let me see if I've got another one in here. Someone did call in with one of their own from Dittmer. Richard said, "Would you trade places with Jesus?" Then there is Tina, who called in with two, she said the Easter song and Thine is the Glory from Handel. What's your favorite Easter song? Let's go back to the phones. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Susan is calling from St. Charles. Susan, welcome to Issues Etc.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Wilkin. All those are beautiful songs. We sang many of them at our church on Sunday. We sang Jesus Christ is Risen Today in the Hallelujah Chorus, and they were incredible. But my favorite one was the last one I heard on Sunday, and that was on the way home from church, and it was coming from the back seat of my car from the lips of my six-year-old daughter. Jesus loves me. He who died, heaven's gates has opened wide. He has wiped away my sin to let his little child come in.
Susan, thank you very much. See, her daughter heard the message of Easter. And you notice he said, Jesus loves me, he who died. That is the good news of Easter. Not that just a man is alive, but that is that Jesus Christ, God and man, is alive after having been dead. Beth is calling from Cape Girardeau. Beth, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. I can barely talk after hearing Susan's now. That really got me. But my family tells me I have too many favorite hymns, but an Easter hymn that I would have to say is top on my list is Jesus Lives, the Victory's One.
Jesus Lives, the Victory's One. Have we got that one in there yet? Let me see. I don't see it yet. Jesus Lives, the Victory's One. Mm-hmm. And I'll get the words out here in just a second. Beth, why is it your favorite?
Because the last phrase of nearly every stanza is, this shall be my confidence, or Jesus is my confidence.
Yeah,
and
this
just sums it all up for me.
Thank you very much, Beth. I appreciate the call. I'm looking here for this one because I know where it is, and my brain is desperately trying to find it, and I know which one she's talking about. This actually has several different versions to it. And when I was a parish pastor, I wrote a couple stanzas for this one. It's a great funeral hymn. If you want a good hymn for the singing at a funeral, Easter hymns are the best. Jesus lives, the victory's won. Death no longer can appall me. Jesus lives, death's reign is done. From the grave Christ will recall me. Brighter scenes will then commence. This shall be my confidence. And it ends with this great stanza, number 5. Jesus lives, and now is death, but the gate of life immortal. This shall calm my trembling breath when I pass its gloomy portal. Faith shall cry as fails each sense. Jesus is my confidence. When we come back, a few more minutes of open lines with you. We'll take your phone calls. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.